We're back to Neil Haley's show on the Author's Corner segment, and I'm excited to welcome the program Kwame Mbalie. Kwame, thanks for calling. Author and successful award-winning author. How are you today, sir?
Neil, thank you for having me, man. I'm doing really well.
All right, so let's kind of delve into, did you always think you would be an author growing up?
That's an interesting question. I always knew I was a writer, right? There's a difference between being a writer and author. I wrote for myself, right? That's how I expressed emotions when I was younger. That's how I got my feelings out. But it wasn't until 5 or 6 years ago when I got encouragement from others that I actually considered being an author. I think it's great. I think it's wonderful. You can write for yourself or you can write for others and you can still be, you know, just a writer in general.
Yeah, I agree with you. And it's something. And then you finally say, okay, I like to write. I enjoy it. Now I'm going to finally write a book. And then that's the challenge, right? Because now you're going to get it out to the world, even in articles. Certain people get it, but now it's the work you have to put in to get that book out.
Oh, it is, just wonderful and terrifying at the same time, right? It is, you know, it is fantastic that all of these readers out there are now have this story and can, you know, maybe fall in love with the characters the way that you did when you were writing, the way that I did when I was writing the story. But yes, there's going to be reviews, there's going to be feedback, there's going to be questions, and it's terrifying, but it's something that, you know, you come to terms with that once you release this story, you know, to the world, it's no longer yours. It's out there for readers to enjoy. You just got to work on your next one.
Exactly. So let's kind of, you know, delve into specifically enough how you came up with the theme of this book. How did you, the series, where did the idea come from?
I mean, the Tristan series in general, I've always wanted to write stories that explore African-American, you know, folktales and West African mythology in a contemporary setting. You know, I heard the Anansi tales when I was little. My parents would put it on because there were four siblings in one room trying to go to bed at night. So they would put on the Anansi tales to calm us down. And so I would fall asleep listening to Anansi. I've always wanted to write an Anansi story. And being able to do it under the Rick Riordan imprint, you know, Percy Jackson, The Lightning Thief, that was one of my favorite books, you know, when I was growing up. And Rick showed me how you could have contemporary mythology. And so being able to bring John Henry, to bring Burr Rabbit, to bring Anansi and Yane the Sky God, in order to bring them into, you know, contemporary settings where this young middle schooler boy, this young African-American boy, can interact with them. I mean, it's just an incredible and really fortunate experience.
Yeah, I definitely think that's so true. It's something that your dream come true in so many ways. And you really wanted people to understand this type of storytelling, right? Not just you wanted to be like that, your mentor in a lot of ways, Rick. You also wanted to provide a new generation what you grew up listening to.
Absolutely. And I think the best, you know, my favorite stories are those ones where they have little, I call them anchor points for you to link real world history or real world stories to, or springboards where a reader will find something, a term, a phrase, a character, and they'll be like, oh my, you know, that's really interesting. And they'll go off and they explore. And when you're dealing with things like folklore and folktales and mythology, there are tons of other stories out there that then you can, you know, the readers can go off and enjoy and explore for themselves. So this book, you know, it's not like the be-all, end-all tale of John Henry or of Anansi, but it is one slice of their story, and there are so many more for readers to go out there and find and to enjoy.
See, I'm more familiar with John Henry. Why is that?
John Henry, I mean, he was popularized, you know, Disney had a short movie starring John Henry. But John Henry, he's like, he's the strong man. He's the steel-driving man. He is, yes, you know, the one who raced the steam drill and won. John Henry is the pillar of strength in African-American folk tales, and his tale has been told a lot through books, through media, and through just through, in general. The idea of standing up to industry and winning is something that has always been popular in American folk tales.
See, and that's so true when you talk about, you know, John Henry, and but that at least was able to reach a multicultural world, which I think that's the goal of your books now. You want them to reach audiences, not just Africans or African Americans. You want everyone, all children and adults, to learn from these folktales.
I think the exchange of culture and the exchange of folktales is how stories grow and are shared far and wide. I'm a firm believer in that. The storyteller tradition is one in which, you know, you carry a story, you know, from fireplace to fireplace, from village to village, from town to town, and you tell that story. And then you learn something as you're telling that story. So it might adapt, it might change, it might grow its own wings, and people will carry that. And so the biggest honor, the biggest gift that I as a storyteller can receive is to hear my own story, you know, narrated back to me,
yes,
adapted in some way to fit a different time, to fit a different character, to fit a different region of people who really grasped and understood that story.
Exactly. And when they grasp it, it's fantastic. So kind of tell me how book one was laid out and now what the difference is in book two in a very short summary, because like you could talk for hours, I'm sure, on all this.
Exactly. So book one was Tristan's introduction into this fantasy world, right? He meets these characters. He's introduced to them. He understands, you know, the evil that they are facing, and he helps them overcome it. Book two is interesting because book one, you know, he faced the villain. And book two, he's dealing with the lingering effects of facing that villain. Okay. I've always been fascinated with stories that end right after the hero has defeated the bad guy, right? We have, you know, we're superheroes. We've come together, we've bonded, and we've faced down this villainy. We've triumphed over evil. Ha, 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 ha. But what happens after that? You know, what happens when they go to sleep at night? What happens when they're trying to rebuild their community that was impacted by this evil? That's what we explore in book two. We deal with the lingering trauma. You know, he's a middle school student. He's, you know, seventh grade, dealing with all of this violence and these reprehensible evil acts. And so what is that like for him? What nightmares does he have? How does he try to rebuild himself personally along with this fantasy world that has experienced this evil?
See, Kwame, what I'm listening to you and I'm understanding more about the character of Tristan is Tristan in the first time really got to let these folklores become life. Now, what's the aftermath in book two? How does Tristan be a normal middle school kid after dealing dealt with in book one?
And learning what he has learned, being exposed to what he has been exposed to, you know, what is the new normal for Tristan? What is the new normal for this boy with these new magical powers? How does that relate to him? And how does he make, you know, friends with these new gods and these new goddesses, these new folk heroes and heroines? It's a new world for Tristan, one that I'm really excited for readers to dive into.
So how do you come up with all these different, the characters that are from folklores? How did you choose which ones? You talked about John Henry, you talked about Anansi. How did you come up with which ones you wanted to use?
Oh man, it was a difficult process. I feel like in book one, it was really, I tried to include as many that I could remember from my own, you know, upbringing, reading and enjoying and listening to. I really tried to include as many as possible. In book two, you know, and this was really important to me, in book two, I really tried to focus on the folk heroines, yes, and the goddesses, because I feel as if in book one, you know, a lot of the gods were male. And so I wanted to show the world the different women that were folk heroines in different folk tales and stories that they're out there. Not that I am, you know, the expert on them, but again, to provide that springboard for them to go off and explore and read up more on these heroes.
So true. Wow. And so this the way I imagine this, could this ever be a movie or a series? Are you thinking, is that a goal of yours?
I think it is every writer's dream to have a movie or a series be made of them. And honestly, the way that I write is, you know, I try to think of it in very visual terms, you know, like, oh man, this could be a great action scene, or this could be the great, you know, prelude rest before they face the final villain. So look, I'm hoping people are shouting out there just as much as I am, saying that we would love for this to turn into a movie.
Hey, if we got to get out of the problem is all these great stories, but then nothing's being produced. There's no production. So I guess you just keep getting the book sales and people learning more and more who you are and the awards that you got from the first book, and see how the second book goes. And once we go back, I don't want to say a new normal, back to hopefully life before COVID, I'm hoping that stories like yours are able to be told on the silver screen or on television. So it's all about, you know, right time, right place, right connection. But right now, all productions pretty much halted in a lot of ways till COVID. So again, we are in this mode of we're living for the next day, not for a year later. We don't know, and we're in the dark, and we need a character like Tristan to bring us out of this, right?
That's what I'm hoping. I hope Tristan and Gumbaby and John Henry and all of these other characters provide a little bit of light and a little leadership for readers out there, a little hope in the darkness.
Exactly. All right, so where can we connect you with you? Where's the best place?
You can go to my website at KwameMbalia.com. Again, that's KwameMbalia.com. You can also follow me on Twitter at KSEKOUM, where I'm probably spend way too much time.
And hopefully it's not in the negativity, because that's what we're, you know, thrusted on. Just keep bringing the stories that you've learned and really work. And I see the education part of this, of connecting to schools, and with schools being back opened up again in a variety of different ways, from hybrid and stuff. Hopefully your work will go to those schools, because it's needed. It's a great, and teachers out there need to pick up this book and the series. And, I'll have you back when it's time for your third book. So thanks again for calling.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
All right, take care, man. Bye. You listen to Neil Haley's show, and we'll be back in just a moment.